The text for the sermon this morning is 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. Watch. Stand fast in the faith. Be brave. Be strong. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Church of God at Corinth, like the Church of God today, faced many attacks. In this first letter to the church in Corinth, we see disunity and neglect of discipline in the church, sexual immorality, abuse of gospel liberty, marriage breakups and divorce, disorders in public worship, and perhaps most serious of all, denial of vital and fundamental doctrine, the doctrine of the resurrection of the body, which the Lord addresses fully and extensively in chapter 15 of this letter. Many of the same sins plague the church today, as well as other sins. There's idolatry. We look to men as though they were God, who can heal us and protect us and save us and provide for us and tell us how we should live. We're more concerned to obey men than to obey the Lord. The worship of God is violated. The name of God is blasphemed. The Lord's Day is profaned. Many other things are more important than the worship of God or corporate prayer. We love the world. We love the things that are in the world. We further our own kingdom, but we take little thought or effort to build the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ and the church of the living God. Many accept socialism. And in this last chapter of this letter, 1 Corinthians, here in verse 13, Paul delivers some concluding exhortations that are short, concise, but powerful, and always fitting for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. These are military terms. The Bible often uses military terms when speaking of the defense of the truth, of the advance of the kingdom of God, of the preservation and the increase of the church of the Lord Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 18, "On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The Apostle Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, verse 1, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." And verse 3, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. First, consider for a moment the context of verse 13, the whole verse. Paul's first exhortation is watch. We live in a time of warfare. Many dangers threaten us. Why do we need to watch? Because all too easily we can succumb to lethargy, carelessness, and perhaps even a false sense of security. We need to be very much alert. We need to be observant. The attack may come to us in a very different way than it has come before. It may surprise us. There is danger, and we do well to take the most careful heed, to take account of what is potentially devastating and what may come upon us like a flood. We must be ready. We must be ready for anything. We must be ready for everything. Take heed, lest you are caught unaware, and damage is inflicted from which we will not easily recover, and which may hurt God's kingdom for years to come. Watch constantly. Be on your guard. Keep your eyes open. Be aware that hostile forces are around us, whose design is to take advantage of us, and whose design is to inflict great damage upon the cause of Christ. The second exhortation in verse 13 is stand fast in the faith. Paul seems to see the enemy coming into clearer view, advancing like one fearful column, descending from the hills, threatening to overcome the feeble line of faithful men, women, and children of God, and our hearts may tremble. We may be frightened or even panicked. He calls for steadfastness in the midst of the advance, for fortitude, for constancy. The threat against the Word of God and the Church of God may make us afraid, but we must hold to our positions as God's people and as the church of the Lord Jesus. The Lord said, occupy until I come. Hold the ground. Do not give way. When the enemy is approaching in such numbers and with such power, it is not the time for weakness, nor is it the time for indecision, nor is it the time for vacillation. If you faint in the day of adversity, then your strength is small. It is a sight. And in many ways, the sight sounds an alarm. When we see what the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is up against today, the strongest among us might fear the outcome and fear for the future. But we must recall what is at stake here. If in our day we concede, and if we compromise or if we retreat, then the ground will be lost and the cause of God and truth will suffer loss. The war may depend upon our faithfulness or unfaithfulness. Stand fast in the faith. It may be that false teachers multiply. It may be that everything seems contrary to those doctrines which we hold and those practices which we maintain. But even if the powers against us are exceedingly mighty and appear to be prevailing, there's only one course for the faithful soldier of the Lord Jesus, and that is to stand the ground in our day, to confront the things that challenge the truth, to confront the things that challenge the fear of God, to confront the things that challenge biblical faith, biblical religion. It is not a time for wimps. It is a time for men, women, and children of strength, of courage. And so there is this third exhortation: be brave. Be courageous. And now Paul sees the line of good men being broken. He sees that error is having an effect. Error is clashing with the forces of truth as if it is now hand-to-hand combat. Things have grown worse. And now there is spiritual conflict between what is true and what is false, between what is holy and what is base, between what is of God and what is of this world. There is open conflict. The Apostle Paul sees that there is confusion on the field. He sees severe losses in the church, good men who fall, good churches that are taken, and Paul wonders whether the time will come when all is lost, and when the people of God will be routed. And so there is an urgency in the voice of the apostle when he calls over the troops of the faithful, be brave. In times of real difficulty, possibly defeat, we must remember that God calls us to be soldiers. We must endure hardness and forsake self-pity. The truth of God is under attack. The church of God is under attack. The future of Christianity is under attack. It is time for valor. However strong the battle, we must be brave and ready for it. And if the battle grows worse, and if we come under even greater pressure, then we must be more valiant for the truth. And that means that we courageously resist falsehood and we courageously oppose false practice in the church of God because of our devotion to the Lord, whose glory is being obscured, and our devotion to truth, whose power is being denied. And second, this morning, is in this context that the Lord gives the fourth and the final exhortation. Be strong. Now, what does Paul see? He no longer sees the gathering of the hosts. He no longer sees the enemy descending from the hill. He no longer sees the breaking through of the ranks. But he sees the battle goes on without relief, without stopping. One company or church after another is assailed. He looks over the scene and he sees the losses. The more time passes, the more intense the conflict becomes. He sees good men who know the truth and have stood by the truth, faltering in such a day, battle weary. Feeling that they cannot go on and on and on fighting for this cause, ready to give up. Churches that have been faithful and true for years begin to open their doors to that which will change forever their character, and that which may well cause their belief and their proclamation of the gospel and their witness to the gospel to cease. How long is this going to go on? We pray. We read the word of God. We encourage one another. But how long is this going to go on? This constant resistance, this constant battling with those who are against us and that which is against us. How long? Oh, it would be easy to weaken. It would be easy for ministers to think, well, it cannot hurt if I give way a little on this and concede a little on that. It would be easy for churches to say, we cannot go on in opposition to these things. Paul fears for the strength of conviction through the hosts of the Lord's people. And he says, men, women, and children, be strong. It may be long. You may be fatigued and exhausted. And many a pastor may feel, oh, not another conflict. Be strong. Great strength is required to be true in these days, to maintain those things that our fathers in the faith have passed on to us, to hold the position that we believe is according to Holy Scripture without compromise, without defection. Whatever we do today, we are not to faint. We are not to give up. It may be that as we look out on the Christian scene, it is the worst sight we have seen for many a year. And it may be that we have to conclude we seem to be losing good men, good churches on every side. Then whatever you do, do not fail. Be strong. If the battle becomes more intense and the conflict becomes more difficult to bear, do not even think of these things. Be strong. What Christ said in Matthew 10, verse 22 is true. He who endures to the end shall be saved. This fourth exhortation, be strong, is found often in Scripture. It is in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 8. Three times in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6, verse 7, and verse 23. Three times in Joshua chapter 1, verse 6, verse 7, and verse 9. It is in Joshua 10, verse 25. 1 Samuel 4, verse 9. 1 Chronicles 22, verse 13, and verse 20, chapter 28, verse 10, and verse 20. It is in 2 Chronicles, chapter 15, verse 7, chapter 25, verse 8, chapter 32, verse 7. We find it in Ezra, chapter 10, verse 4, in Nehemiah, chapter 13, verse 10, in Isaiah, chapter 35, verse 4, in Daniel, chapter 10, verse 19, in the prophet Haggai, chapter 2, verse 4, the prophet Zechariah, chapter 8, verse 9, Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 10. Paul's second letter to Timothy, chapter 2, verse 1. Third, this morning, when God addresses us in this way, it implies certain things. Things that we can take for granted. That the person is spiritually alive. How can it be otherwise? Thomas Boston says, a sick man has some strength, but a dead man has no strength at all. The fact that the Lord gives this exhortation here in our text means that we are weak people spiritually and we need strength. Those who are weak are spiritually alive because God, by His Holy Spirit, has done a good work in them and has imparted life to them, the life of faith, the life of the knowledge of God, the life of true holiness and sanctity. But that life at the first is weak. Sometimes it remains weak for a while because we are complacent. We are content. It may be that we've just been converted, becoming believers. And we leave it right there. We read of those in the New Testament who are born again from above, but they never advanced from childhood. They never grew up from infancy. The Apostle Paul speaks of those who ought to have been men, but they were children. Paul speaks this way to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We find this also in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. They should have gone on to experience more of God's grace, grow in grace and the knowledge of God. But they were satisfied with what they had and made no such effort. As a result, they were subject to spiritual declension. Spiritual decline. Our Lord Jesus speaks to the church of Sardis. In Revelation chapter 3, I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful. And strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found your works perfect before God. Such a decline had set in that they became weaker and weaker until almost there was no sign of any change at all. So the Lord's people do need this exhortation here in our text. Be strong! We need to be strong. We need to be ready to live well. We need to be determined to grow up. We need to be consistent in living for God. Be strong. In the fourth place, why do we need to be strong? Why can we not just stay as we are, knowing the comfort of the great change God has worked in our hearts, having all our sins forgiven by the blood of the Lord Jesus, and having our future assured? Why can we not just stay as we are? The answer to that is because the life of faith is hard. It is not for babes. It is for men. It is for the mature. The Apostle Paul says to the early Christians in the book of Acts, chapter 14, verse 22, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. It is hard. There are problems to overcome. There are challenges to face, which you cannot do if you are a spiritual infant. The second reason to grow up is that the opposition we face is very great. We have one arch enemy who is the enemy of God as well as the enemy of God's people. Scripture says Satan hindered us. He is there to oppose every resolve you make, every effort you put in. The fact that we must resist him means that we must be strong. We must grow up. We must act like men, like adults, like mature believers, like mature, seasoned, experienced spiritual soldiers. The third reason why we need to be strong is not only because the believing life is demanding and we have one who is set to obstruct us, but also, as we read in Matthew 11, verse 12, because the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. To get to the end, to enter the kingdom, requires all the persevering strength we have. Because it is not only to live at the present, but it is to live to the end. So we need to be strong. Yet who can doubt that sometimes our weakness is all that we have to show? And that weakness is somewhat exposed. Take a man like Timothy, whom Paul left at Ephesus to organize the churches there and to make provision for those churches according to the will of Christ and his apostles. It was very difficult. Anyone who has attempted to build up a strong church and reform it according to the word of God knows that this is a tremendous task. It is relatively easy to increase a congregation, but it is the hardest thing that falls to the minister's hand to build a church. So difficult service will sometimes prove how weak we are. Affliction will sometimes prove how weak we are. When Paul speaks of even light affliction in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, he desires that they not faint or lose heart. Affliction sorts us out. And sometimes hard providences come our way and we begin to struggle for various reasons. Maybe that health fails, or life becomes problematic in some way, or burdens must be borne. Then we realize how weak we are. How ready to faint. Proverbs 24 verse 10 speaks of fainting in the day of adversity, in which it is proved that your strength is small. So service will expose our weakness, and affliction will expose it. And sometimes the severe test of apparent desertion will expose it. We know that God has said He will never leave us nor forsake us, but a right reading of Scripture leads us to believe that we do not always have the sense of that, the full assurance of that, the experience of that, the comfort of that. That is what the Bible calls walking in darkness and having no light. And we desire then more than ever before the light of God's countenance to rise upon us. It is a difficult time not to know the felt presence of God. It is a very testing time. We cannot walk anymore by sense because we do not have it in the sense of experience. We walk by faith, and when that is all we can do, we realize how small our faith is. And the end of all this can be sad. We can be so weak that we fail. We fail to live as a believer should live. We fail to fulfill the will of God, which is made known to us. We may fail to the point that we lapse into sin. There's no worse consequence than that. The consequences are more than the obvious one, that we are the loser, because others see our faltering course and they see that we are fallen down and they stumble. They feel that it is a stumbling block to them. It is an offense to them because they reason like this. If he fell, what prevents me from falling? So our witness ceases. We cease to be a cause of inspiration. We seem to be a cause of dejection. I never thought, you know, that he would fail. Sad, sad consequence. But the worst of it all is that the Lord is so dishonored by this. It is not exactly walking worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, is it? And therefore the name of our God, that great and holy name above every other name, does not receive the glory and the honor that it should have, and men can speak evil of the Lord because of the weak servant. And fifth this morning, we are responsible for our estate. Why is it that we are not strong? Is it because we are spiritually lazy? Is it because we have become careless? Is it because we have become worldly, conformed to people in this world, living like them, thinking like them, speaking like them? Whereas we are told in Holy Scripture, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12, verse 2. Be strong. How do weak people become strong? Interestingly enough, the secret is not in us. The secret is in God. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 29, God is given this title, the strength of Israel. Here is one who is stronger than the strongest of men, the strength of Israel. All strength is in him. Absolute strength is in him. Abiding strength is in him. Therefore, if the weak would be strong, the strength must be in God, and with God, and from God. God can make the weak strong. Therefore that title, the strength of Israel. Israel, at his worst, was pathetically weak. But God, at his best, is tremendously strong. God can make the weak strong. He is said to hold us up. Romans 14 verse 4. In one place, he is said to carry us, to lift us up, to keep us. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. A remarkable thing happens when a people prove their God to be sufficient and adequate for their particular need. Hebrews 11 verse 34 says, out of weakness they were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. God can do this. He can make the weak strong. When we are beginning to falter, he can support us. He gives us his arm every morning. He not only stays us, but strength comes remarkably to us according to our need. That strength which is imparted by the Holy Spirit of God, wherein we are so blessed that we do what we thought we could not do. And we face what we feared we could never face. Strength comes remarkably. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That strength not only comes in the way of support to maintain us, but imparted strength to help us. And that strength will prove persevering grace to the end of the journey. It's not just the lift that God gives in a particular time, but it is a hold God affords for all time. We have to simply use the means he has ordained for us, which is to seek this God, that of his strength we may receive, to seek the company of his people. For when we are in company and when we fellowship together, Psalm 84 verse 7 says, they go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. There's strength in numbers. We cannot make it alone. And that is why attendance is so vital and adherence so essential. Then there is prayer. Prayer that we may be strengthened by his Spirit in the inner man, and not just once or even twice in life in a particular situation or emergency. But I need strength every day to face everything. And I cannot do without him for even an hour. I need him. Every hour I need him. And when I am folded under the wings of God and in the secret of his presence, he says to me, be strong. I will be your strength. I will maintain you in your going. And I will bring you home to my eternal kingdom. So study to be strong. The strength is there in God, mediated to us through the means of grace. Therefore, use all the means, not simply to live, but to excel. Be strong. Thy love in times past forbids me to think thou wilt leave me at last in trouble to sink. Each sweet Ebenezer I have in review confirms God's good pleasure to see me quite through. If God undertakes to see us quite through, we're not going to collapse. We're not going to fail. For if God be for us, who can be against us? The people that know their God shall do exploits. Therefore look toward Him. Call upon Him to undertake for you. Say to Him from the depths of your heart, Lord, walk with me and I will walk with you. And whatever is in the unknown, you shall not fear. But your faith remains steady in Jehovah. This morning I leave you with those marvelous words of God, Jehovah, at the end of Isaiah chapter 40. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, He increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary. And the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen. O Lord our God, You are strong, but we are weak. You are almighty, but we are frail. And so, Father, we come to You humbled, that were it not for Your strength, were it not for this spiritual life that You give to us, we would have no strength at all, for we would be dead men. But Father, we have a little strength because You have put it there. And it is Your good pleasure that we be stronger. It is Your will and Your command that we be strong. We're not sufficient for these things. But we look to You. And we pray that even today, in the diligent use of the means that You Yourself have appointed, we will be strengthened. And we will have the strength not only for the moment, but the strength to persevere. The strength to face every attack and every trial and every affliction and every burden and every problem without faltering, trusting in You, growing in grace, and being valiant, faithful soldiers of Jesus Christ. Lord, work in us, we pray, that You might be glorified, that others may be blessed and encouraged, that Your church may remain and even increase, and that the gates of hell may be demolished through the advance of the Lord Jesus and His church. And Father, we pray for those who have no strength, to whom these words are as nothing. Lord, we pray that You will cause them to be born from above and take out that heart of stone, give them a heart of flesh, that they may not be dead bones lying in the valley, lifeless, but living servants of Jesus Christ who persevere and grow in grace and in strength in the inner man until that great day of His appearing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.